Amen. As you grab your seats, say Happy New Year to a few people next to you. Welcome them to OEM on this beautiful Sunday. And as you do grab your seat, I want to draw your attention to this mission offering pledge insert that you should find within your handouts. And what we do the first Sunday of every new year is we ask people to invest into our missionaries and our missions ministries throughout the world. Throughout the 27 plus years of this ministry, we've had the honor of sending out more than 1,400 missionaries full-time throughout the nations of the world. And that is an awesome, awesome thing to be a part of. And if you have done this in the past, we encourage you to continue to do so. And if you've never done so, we ask you to prayerfully consider giving even as little as $10 a month in order to support our missionaries and the missionaries that desire to go out even this year to the different countries. And so if you are comfortable with filling out a CMS form, or if you need a pen, raise your hand, and we do have ushers that could provide pens or CMS forms for you. And so we encourage you. I want to give you a few moments right now to fill this out. And if you're not ready to fill this out, that's cool. But as different people fill them out right now, I can't ask you, if you're not going to fill it out right now, just to place your hand upon this form and pray for the missionaries that we are supporting around the world. Again, we have hundreds of missionaries currently right now in different countries all across this planet, reaching the unreached. And so I want to give you a few minutes right now to fill this out. And again, even if it's just $10 a month, that can go a long way in spreading the gospel. And even if you are not going, we are called to support and send people through prayer and through giving. And so we'll give you a few minutes right now, and we ask you to prayerfully support our missionaries around the world. And again, we do thank you for all who are seeking to support our missionaries around the world through this. And if you would like to pray about it more and take it home, that's fine too. We're going to be collecting them next week as well. And as people do wrap up the collections of it, I just want to highlight a few announcements for us today. And so you can, ushers, you guys can collect the offering pledges right now at the ends of the aisle. We do have our pastor's meet and greet. So if you are new to our ministry, you could join us for that at the welcoming center. There will be a welcome sign in the front that will guide you there. Also, our elderly ministry will be doing a briquette outreach. If you'd like to be a part of that, of serving some coal to some of the elderly of our community, you could contact Hannah, and her email is provided for you there. Also, our orphanage partnership ministries will be supporting Jerusalem Ministry, and they're going to be doing an arts and crafts camp for some of the orphanages in the city between January 22nd and 24th. So if you do have some time and availability, we'd love for you to be a part of that. So you could contact Jerusalem Ministry directly with the email provided in your bulletin there as well. Also, we have our small group semester starting up very soon, so we're going to be taking sign-ups this month. They do fill up very quickly, so we encourage you guys to sign up soon, and you will be given an option of filling out choice 1, 2, 3. We want to make sure that the small groups are small. And so if your first choice is not available, we do apologize and hope that you can select some other options that you'd be interested in as well. Also with this, again, with the size of our ministry, the only way to really feel connected is going to be involved in a small group. And so we encourage you guys to be a part of that. Also, our Hope Be Restored is having a fundraiser for House of Hope, which is the first Christ-centered aftercare center for sex trafficking victims, and also it'll be a crisis pregnancy center as well. I'll be giving more details about this later on in the service. And the last thing that I want to highlight today is the Korean side has invited Jan Frank. She is a YWAM minister, and also she oversees a ministry called Door of Hope. And the pretty cool thing about this ministry is that it seeks to it's going to be a conference between January 17th to the 19th in this sanctuary on this campus, and it'll be between 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., so it'll be during the daytime. It'll be focusing on the prevention, but also the aftercare and restoration of sex abuse victims, especially for children. And so it's kind of cool that they're having this conference in light of our work that we've been doing for our Gudo outreach and our ministries there. So if that is still something very pressing on your heart, obviously with the speaker, she will be speaking in English. Korean translation will be provided as well. We'll give you guys a little bit more info on that next week. And so once again, if you can, if you did not get a chance to hand in your mission pledges, you could do so, give it to some of the ushers after the service there. And we thank you for that. Before we get to the word, we do have a video, a highlight video of last year, of 2012. And I'm going to ask our media team to get that ready as we reflect upon the goodness and faithfulness of God from 2012. Stronger than all our faults and failures. Could we live like your love? It's deeper than our hearts could fathom. Could we live like this? Could we live like your name is higher? Amen. It was a good year, amen? A lot of great things happened. Let's pray. Why don't we just begin in prayer, and let's give God thanks for 2012, and also in faith, let us give thanks for this year, because God will be good, He will be faithful, and we will experience His grace yet again. So let's pray, ready our hearts to hear from the Lord through His Word, but also let's give God thanks for all that He has done. Knowing that it has come, and all that's happened in our lives last year has been filtered through the grace and goodness of a loving God. Let's pray. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep, for he watches over you. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Neither what happens in the day nor at night will be a source of harm to you. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life, for it is in his hands. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Father, we look to you today. We do not look to technology. We do not look to the mountains. We do not look to governments. We look to you, for you are strong. You are our shield. You are our shade. And Father, we give you thanks for all the amazing graces that you showered upon our lives and our ministry in 2012, and we give you thanks for that. We thank you for your hand of favor that has rested upon our lives. We thank you for your sustaining grace that kept our hearts beating, that allowed us to hear from you. And God, with faith, we give you thanks in anticipation for greater graces that will come this year, knowing that the best is yet to come for the believers always. God, we have not experienced the pinnacle or the climax of the goodness of living for the Lord. It will only get better. And Lord, with faith, we cannot wait. And even at this time, this first Lord's Day of the new year, we give to you. And we ask, God, that you would bless us with your voice, with your presence, with your life-changing word. Shape us. Purify us, wash us, and allow our hearts to long for Jesus more and to love Jesus more. May our lives not be the same because we have encountered the living God through his living word. Father, I surrender myself to you now. Use your servant, your son, as an instrument of your grace to be your mouthpiece. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I want to begin this year by honoring God for his goodness in leading us last year and trusting that he will be faithful in this coming year as well. I want to highlight a few of the key things that God allowed us to be participants in last year. You know, as I was going through my prayer journal, one date that stood out for me was September 1st, 2011. And it was on that day that I was having my time with the Lord that he spoke to me and he asked me to start praying and engaging the injustices specifically for abortion, adoption, and we were currently engaged in the fight for abolition as well. And so when I look back and see what God allowed us to participate in last year especially, I am in awe for his leading and his goodness upon our ministry. So those were the three things that I really felt strongly compelled by God to turn the tide in and for this nation. To turn the tide of abortion. to honor and protect life, to turn the tide in adoption, as we've been reading about during that time period, that less and less opportunities were happening for the orphan to be cared for, and also to turn the tide of injustice for the trafficked victim and the abolition of slavery. And those are three things that I want to highlight just briefly. And first of all, it's for abortion. As you know, God led us to pray last year during a crucial time period in this nation's history when, for the first time, now the Supreme Court of this nation decided to debate whether to overturn the current law of honoring, protecting the unborn. They were debating in the Supreme Court whether to make abortion legal. And they were debating for months. And I'm thankful that God made us aware of this debate so that we could intercede for the unborn, pray for life. And after months of debates, I believe that the decision of the Supreme Court to honor and protect life, because the child in the womb also has a right to live, in those words even, that is something to honor and praise God for, because that is not the trend of the rest of the nations in this generation. Amen? And so we want to honor God for leading us and for those who have obeyed in praying for life. Also for adoption. As you guys know, there were new laws that were set in place last August. Not all of them are that great, but some of them are. And one of the laws that are very positive that we want to celebrate is for the expat community to officially be able to adopt while living and residing, working in this country. And those adoptions will not count against the quota for the international adoptees. So that's something we celebrate as well, and also for abolition. As we've been putting more and more pressure upon this Korean government, they're aware that there is a community now that is caring for those trafficked victims, and they're seeking to do more about it. And this past week, if you are not aware, over 60,000 people gathered together in Atlanta, Georgia for the annual Passion Conference led by Louis Giglio and Chris Tomlin and the like. And within those few short days, they prayed against this injustice of trafficking. They were being taught and prepared how to engage it as a church body. And in three short days, they raised over $3 million to fight the abolition of slavery in this generation. That's awesome. Give God a hand for that one. That is amazing. During the same time period, those same set of days, 1,000 people gathered together at IHOP, International House of Prayer, for the Exodus Cry Abolition Summit in Kansas City, as they were praying down the strongholds of injustice, and they were praying into the beginning of the preparations for Nefarious 2. What we are witnessing is a global movement by God for the justice of the nations. A few years ago, you would have never even heard of tens of thousands of people gathering together to cry out for the justice of the trafficked victims across the nations. What we are witnessing and what we are seeing in retrospect, as we took a step of faith and obedience to fight these injustices, is we are seeing our ministry and our lives in line with the Spirit of God in the season of justice. We are in a special season globally of what God, through His Spirit, is calling forth His bride to be a part of. And now, as we have been praying for the past 2.5 years for the church to rise up to fight justice, we are seeing the fruit of those prayers being answered as well. As tens of thousands and more than hundreds of thousands of people right now are engaged in this fight for justice. We are witnessing history in the making. Amen. It is an exciting time to be alive. It is an exciting time to be a believer, because God is doing exciting things across this world. And now I want to invite you through the hope, the House of Hope, a fundraiser that we're going to have on January 18th. I want to extend a special invitation to you as well, for everyone here to join us also on a history-making endeavor. And through this fundraising dinner, what we hope to do is to raise some funds in order to establish the first Christ-centered aftercare center for trafficking victims in this country. I've mentioned it in past sermons, but what we have found as we've been making this documentary and interviewing a lot of these sex trafficking victims in this country is that there are a lot of great aftercare centers in this country. We partner with them, we honor them, we bless them, we support them. But because there is not one yet in this country that is grounded, founded, centered around the gospel, we have noticed a very big hole in the recovery and healing process of these women. And so we realize we did not plan on this, but we are taking the step of faith to create this so that these women can be healed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there are about 25 to 30 tables of 10 that will be available, and we ask you to prayerfully consider reserving a spot or as a table, even through a small group or a ministry. We encourage you guys to be a part of this history-making event. This is crucial so that these women can be healed through the power of the gospel, which is the only real source of true freedom. Amen? And so we encourage you guys to be a part of it. This is about kingdom priorities, putting the things of God's heart first in our own time, our wallets, and our lives. And this year, the word that God has given us is that it will be a year of kingdom priorities. And so we want to center this year and start it off by looking at this key verse, Matthew 6:33. And I want to ask you to open your Bibles to that, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 25 to 34. And with this year being a year of kingdom priorities, we want to begin by asking, is my life aligned to the things of his heart? As a citizen of his kingdom, is my life marked with his kingdom priorities? And if not, how can we be aligned around kingdom priorities? So follow along with me in your text and also in your outlines. We want to look at how our lives can be centered around the priorities of God's heart as well. So first of all, the first thing that we must do is you must trust God with your life. So everyone repeat, trust God with your life. So that's where we need to begin. Trust God with my whole being, my whole life. I want to entrust it into his hands. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So Jesus is concluding his teaching on where we need to put our trust. He just finished teaching on storing up treasures in heaven in verses 19 to 24, and it's about not letting the stuff of this earth, the temporary stuff of this planet, be the treasures of our lives. But that's the message of this world, isn't it? The world tells us you need more stuff, right? You need better stuff. You need newer stuff. You need faster stuff. And especially if you are into gadgets, there was a time that I was really into them, but that is one part of our world where it always is trying to tell you you need the latest, fastest, brightest, glitziest stuff out there. One thing I have to confess is I was surprised at how well the iPhone 5 did. I did not expect, I'll be honest, you know, I'm a fan of Apple stuff, but I did not expect the iPhone 5 to do well. Do you know why? Because when I was looking at the iPhone 5, comparing it to the iPhone 4, I was like, it's not really that different. You know, it's a little bit taller. It's like a little bit taller and a little bit lighter. You know, there was nothing in terms of abilities that was drawing to me. It's like, wow, I gotta have to have this. You know, there's no that factor for me, right? So I was like, I don't know if it's gonna do well. And it turned out right now to be the best-selling iPhone in history. And so I'm like, wow, it's like, we're really gullible, right? Hey, you need this. It's taller. It's lighter. Oh, give it to me, right? That's what millions of people have done. And we're constantly bombarded by this message, right? That this is what you need. And so we get more stuff. But the problem is the more stuff we get, the more anxious we become too, right? You know, I realized there was a lot of freedom when I was in seminary because when I was living by myself in a very small apartment during my seminary days, the only thing I owned literally was my books and my clothes. All my clothes was Dallas Cowboys. All my books were commentaries and Bibles. And so there was one time when there's a lot of petty theft in Vancouver. So there's one time when there's a string of burglaries going on in my apartment complex. And I could leave home, go to school with no worries. Because I was like, if they take my Bible, I hope they read it and they'll change, you know? There was like no concern for me. It's like there's nothing that I have to worry about if thieves break in and steal and destroy. And I realized, you know, that happens. If the more stuff we get, the more we worry. I was reminded of this too. It's like when I was thinking about when I got, when I was buying a computer several years ago. I go to the store and, you know, I'm conversing with this salesman and he's convincing me, are you looking for the best laptop? Then this is it. You know, I was like, oh, I don't know. You know, I read reviews about this other brand. You know, are you sure this is the best? Right? This is the best, you know, quality, fastest processor, biggest, everything's the best. And so after, you know, all this debate, he convinced him, this is the best one out there. Right? It's going to last me a long time, right? And then we get to the, you know, cash register, and right before I'm about to pay, he goes, would you like insurance with that? And it's like, I'm like, insurance? Why do I need an insurance? You just told me this is the best of the best. Right? This is going to last me. But you never know, right? It's like, because if you walk out and something happens, you know, it's a lot of money to fix. But if you buy our insurance for just $99 a year, then if something happens, then we'll fix it right. And all of a sudden, I was like, dude, you just convinced me for the past 30 minutes that this is the best of the best. And right before I pay, you're creating worry like, what if something happens, right? And that's what this world does to us. Is that the world, by nature, will create anxiety in us until we learn to trust in God. Amen? You see, the demands and what this world tells us is important will create great stress in us until we learn where to put our trust. You see, worry and anxiety are opposites of trust. When Jesus says, don't worry about your life, the positive way of saying it would be trust God with your life. Because worry is the natural response of a heart that does not trust God. That's natural. Worry is natural for the heart that does not trust God or a heart that does not know God. You see, worry shows that you are uncertain if good will come out of a situation. But the believer knows that our God is sovereign and good at all times and is worthy to be trusted and praised. You see, worry is meditation upon your problems. But you were created to meditate on God and His Word. I've talked with several people, and when I say, you know, when you have your quiet times and devotional times with God, learn to meditate on the Bible. Learn to meditate on the Word. And so I've heard people say, Eddie, I'm not good at meditating. I don't know how to meditate. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Because worry is meditation, thinking about something over and over and over and over and over again. Worry is meditation about problems. But you were created to meditate upon the goodness of God instead. Another reason why we should not worry is that worry makes us waste the moment that we are in. You are not trusting the moment you are worrying. You are not worshiping at that moment either, and that is a waste. You see, you cannot worry and worship at the same time. Because worship focuses on God, but worry focuses on the problem. Worry focuses on how big and great our God is. That is worship. But worry focuses on how big our problems are. Worry is a waste of an opportunity to worship. So Jesus is not saying that food and clothing is not important. That's not what he's saying. They are important, but what he is showing us is that there is something more important than even the basic needs that we have. So trust God with your life. Also, then he gives the reason for that. We learn to trust God cares for you. So everyone repeat, trust God cares for you. Trust God with your life, with your whole life. Today and every day until you die, trust God with your life. Why? Because he cares for you. Look at verse 26 and 27 of Matthew 6. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? So Jesus says, you are more valuable than the birds and the rest of creation. Humankind is the apex of God's creation when he declared the goodness of it. And I love what verse 27 says. Look at verse 27. It says, who of you by being anxious or worrying can add a single hour to his span of life? The irony to this is that when we worry, studies show that we are actually harming our health, meaning you will probably decrease your life by worry rather than increase it. And I know that those who worry, if you're a worry bug, the fact that I just said that, you're going to start worrying like, oh my goodness, I'm worrying. That means my life is getting shorter. I'm going to die shorter. Okay, no. Anyway, okay. We'll pray for you later. Let's look at verses 28 and following. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive, and tomorrow thrown into the oven, which will he not much more clothe you? O you of little what? Faith. O you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Now, Jesus reveals what worry really shows. When we worry, we are showing a lack of faith in a good God. Oh, you of little faith. Why are you so anxious? And verse 32 says, for Gentiles, people who do not know our God, people who do not know our good and sovereign God, they worry about all these things as if they were the most important things. People who do not know our good and sovereign King chase after temporary things as if they were the most important. He says, Gentiles seek after all these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Notice Jesus didn't say, and your Father knows you don't really need these things. He doesn't say that. He says, he knows that you need them. So don't worry. Trust God with your life because he cares for you. Again, he is not saying they're not important, but there is something more important to focus on than the clothes that we wear or even the food that we eat. Man does not live on bread alone. Man is not sustained by bread alone. Man was not created for bread alone, but for every word that comes from the mouth of God. Those who know our Father in heaven also know that he cares for his children. We can trust him because he is God. He is good. He is almighty, and he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. If it matters to you, then it matters to him. Cast all your cares upon him. Now, as I've been in youth ministry and pastoral adult ministry for quite a number of years, I realize there's two segments especially that people really struggle with concerning this, of really trusting God. And that is with our future in terms of jobs and our future in terms of marriage and relationships. I've seen people wrestle with this. They will be faithfully attending church. They'll be faithful members of Bible study, all this stuff. But when it comes to getting their job or getting their mates, they worry. It's hard for them to trust God. It's hard for them. It's like, Eddie, you know, I've been waiting, I've been praying, and I know that the Bible is against me marrying a non-believer, but hey, it's slim pickings, Eddie. There's not a lot of options for me. Nobody's showing interest, but this person is showing interest. I know he's not a believer, but Eddie, come on, I will be a missionary to him. And it shows that we do not really trust God, that he will care for us. But God loves you, and he will care for you, and it takes faith to believe that. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" He is saying, look at the cross. Look at the gospel. That is the ultimate display of God's love for you, of God's goodness for you. And that if God will not spare his own son to bless your life in the greatest way possible, surely he will make sure that your life is blessed in a way that is best for you. Amen. He cares for you in ways that you can understand. You know, because we always have a limited view of this. God, you'll love me if it's sunny tomorrow, right? You'll love me if I get married this year. God, if you love, right, we put all these narrow restrictions on God's love. And sometimes, by God's humor, he will meet those requests, right? We say, God, if you really love me, you're going to do this. And God may sometimes do that. And then God loves me. It was sunny. It was sunny today, right? But we need to understand that there are a lot of other ways that God will express love to you that you will not fully understand yet. You see, Isaiah 55 tells that the thoughts of the Lord are higher than our thoughts. The ways of the Lord are higher than our ways. And you see, it's kind of like we need to understand that He is God. We are dust. He made us. Right? And so for us, we need to understand that there's a pretty big difference between God's thinking and our thinking. And as much as we try, it's going to be very hard to understand God. It's kind of like when you're on a picnic, and then all of a sudden, you know, when you were young, you'd like to watch the row of ants take your breadcrumbs back to their anthill, and you'll watch it for a little bit, but then suddenly you want to play God, and you destroy some of the ants, right? And then all of a sudden, you see the other ants mourning and crying out and wailing together, why did you do this, right? And, you know, it's kind of like these ants, they have no idea what just happened. They don't know who you are. Right, but it's kind of like us, it's like that ant's ability to fully understand my mind, impossible. Should be, right? And for us, as created beings, like this ant, there are things that an infinite wise God will do in our lives that we cannot fully understand yet. It's kind of like, you know, when I'll hold my son Enoch every day and I'll play with him and I'll tell him, I love you. I love you, Enoch. I love you. I love you. You know, I'll say that often. But can he really understand what I just said? No. Well, maybe, you know. He's pretty smart, so maybe, no. For a one-year-old, I'm pretty sure he does not understand when I say the words, Enoch, I love you. But I say to him all the time, even though he cannot understand it yet, there is a way that I need to express my love to him, both physically and verbally, that it needs to be expressed. And so I will lavish him with my love, even in ways that I know that he will not understand yet. Because that is how I express my love. And God does the same to us. God is always expressing love to his children. Always. Some of the ways we will understand now, but we are finite, we are fallen, we cannot fully understand his ways yet. But there will come a day where we will see him and know him just as we are known, Paul says. There will come a day when we enter glory and we will be renewed, restored, redeemed in such a way that still, throughout all of eternity, we will have of getting to know God more. But in eternity, we will be able to look back upon our lives and we will see how every moment of our lives was filtered and orchestrated through the infinite love and grace of God. That everything that God allowed to happen to our lives was an expression of his love to you. Amen. That is why faith is needed. Not only to be saved, we need faith for this journey home. We need faith not only to be saved, but faith is needed for the saved. Martin Luther once said that we need the basics of the gospel every day because we forget the gospel every day. And I think that's right on. We need to be reminded of the basics of the gospel because too quickly we forget that God loves us, that God is for us, that God is orchestrating all things for our good. We forget that He is worthy to be trusted. And so we need to trust that God cares for you. Can you say that to somebody next to you? Bless them with it. Say, trust that God cares for you. Say that to somebody. Amen. And finally, how can we align our lives to be in tune with the priorities of God's kingdom? We need to trust God by living for Him today. So everyone repeat, trust God by living for Him today. It's about learning to make today count for eternity. Instead of my focus being on myself and my wants and my needs, my focus, priority, and attention must be on God and what He desires. Therefore, we live for the Lord today. Matthew 6, 33 and 34 are key verses for this year. Can we read that together? Ready, begin? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So a complete trust in God leads to a life that lives for God and seeks the things of His heart. You see, everybody is a seeker. Everyone is seeking something. Some are seeking more money. Some are seeking more clothes. Some are seeking more attention. Some are seeking more friendships, more relationships. Some are seeking more education. But God's people are marked by seeking more of Him, more knowledge of Him, wanting to know Him more, wanting to live for Him, wanting to see more people know Him more. It's not about looking for something that isn't in our lives, as if the kingdom is not available to us. We are in God's kingdom. We are citizens of God's kingdom. It is about priority. You put that first within our hearts. See, what we mean by having kingdom priorities, and in this year of kingdom priorities, is that we want to filter all of our lives through His kingdom, His character, and His priority of the cross in our lives. And when we do this, He says, all these things will be added to you. Meaning, He will take care of you. God's going to take care of you. You take care of focusing your life on the kingdom, leave the rest up to God. He's going to take care of you. You know, this verse, Matthew 6:33 especially, played a big part of my testimony that led me into pastoral ministry. When I was in a freshman, first year in college, I still remember I was really praying about what God wanted me to do for the rest of my life, and this is my prayer every day. I said, God, prepare me well to use me well. Prepare me as best as you can to use me as much as you can. That was my prayer. And so I wanted my college years to be preparation years. I didn't want to waste them. I know a lot of my older friends, they said, Eddie, you know, it doesn't matter what you major in, you know, it's not going to count later, you know, what I'm doing now has nothing related to what I studied in college. And that really encouraged a freshman, you know, so, oh, okay. So all of my hours of study mean absolutely nothing. And my thousands of dollars spent means absolutely, you know. And so I prayed. I said, God, I don't want to waste these years. I want it to be preparation year. So God, tell me. And so I was really seeking God, praying, fasting, all these things. If you want me to be in business, you know, because I was thinking about that. You know, I was like, should I be a businessman, whatever? Should I be an architect? I was praying about all these things. So let me know, and whatever you tell me, I'm going to prepare my best for. And through a lot of other circumstances, God led me and was calling me into pastoral ministry. But my biggest obstacle, it's not that I was doubting God or trying to rebel against God. My biggest obstacle was wanting to provide for my parents. You know, I mean, it's not that I want to make a lot of money and buy a yacht and a mansion. It's not like that. It's like I wanted to make money so that I could take care of my parents. I wanted to bless them in that way. And this is what God told me. I remember as I was wrestling in prayer one time, God spoke to me that verse, Matthew 6:3. Eddie, if you seek me first, follow my lead for your life, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, I'm going to take care of your family. And the choice was up to me now. Would I believe Him? Would I trust Him for that? And I did. And so since that day, I've shared it in other sermons about different testimonies of how God really blessed the workplace that my parents were a part of before they retired. There are so many incredible divine ways that God blessed that company. And God blessed my parents. And every time that they would get a new benefit or a new raise or a new, you know, some sort of material blessing, that was God telling me, I told you, you can trust me. I'm going to take care of them. You keep seeking me. And I have been. And so, you know, it's like, it's not like, I wouldn't rejoice if I get a raise. It's not like I ever got a raise. It's like, but when my parents would get a raise, when God would bless them in any way, shape, form, I would rejoice because God was being faithful to his promise. Amen. And you know, when that season was complete, we always, again, need the gospel every day because we forget. When Enoch was born, all of a sudden I felt the same, sometimes anxiety surface again. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, I want to provide the best for him. I want to provide good education. I want to provide, da, da. And God had to remind me again, hey, Eddie, you seek me first. I'm going to take care of your son too. I'm going to take care of your children. Amen. Our needs will be cared for when his kingdom is first. God will take care of you when you put him first. How? In many ways that we could have never imagined, but in one way that is tangible, one way that God provides for us and the people of God is through the community of God, in the context of community. Seeking the kingdom of God and living for his righteousness is also about serving the community of God. Because the kingdom is about people with Christ as king. Right? If there's only one king and no people, that's not much of a kingdom. Right? Christ is king of a people, of us. And how that is supposed to work itself out practically is that we learn to honor Christ and his kingdom first by also serving his community, his people. So now when there are needs that surface within the community context, we help each other as one body. That is how the church and the kingdom are to function. Kingdom priorities is also about serving the needs of the community of the kingdom. You see, only when we are freed from the world's philosophy of wanting more stuff and physical possessions can we begin caring for the world's poor who are truly in need of physical possessions. That's a kingdom perspective. God wants to free us from wanting more for me. Free us from that. Focus on the kingdom so that what we have been blessed with, we can generously give away. Amen? And so we need to know each other's needs, get involved into each other's lives so that we can be a blessing to each other and bless each other in that way. And the best way to learn how to do that is in the context of community, in the context of small groups. So we encourage you, again, for everyone here to be involved in a small group so that you can be known and you can know, so that you can be blessed and so that you can bless. That is a kingdom priority. Why does God stress a life of the kingdom with its priorities so much here? Because there is nothing better in life than to live for Christ and his kingdom. I was reflecting upon this, and I realized it's kind of like when you eat at a buffet, especially at a Korean wedding, okay? Now, if you've ever been to a Korean wedding, not only are the wedding ceremonies really short, the buffet or the mealtime afterwards, it could be very stressful, right? There's a lot of people, right? Everybody's hungry, right? And you're like, you know what? Even though it's a buffet, there's probably not going to be a lot of food after I go through this line once. So I better stock up now, right? And so, you know, the thing is, the best food is always at the end of the line, right? But what happens? You're hungry, you see the crowds, and you want to get a lot of food right away. Right? But by the time you get to the end, your plate is too full, right? You filled up with all the other, like, salad and lettuce, you know. Like. And so you wasted precious plate space just because you were hungry, right? When there is better food at the end. And I think God is saying that to us. Don't waste your stomach space on the minor stuff of this temporary world. Save it. Fill it with the best stuff of things eternal. And there is nothing better than a life that is fully trusting, fully living, fully invested in Christ and his kingdom. Nothing is better. Nothing is more rewarding. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." God is seeking those whose hearts are seeking Him. And when eye contact is made, then kingdom impact happens. You see, the eyes of the Lord, it's saying it's looking throughout the whole earth. And what God sees are the eyes of our hearts, of most people, looking for stuff. Looking for more stuff. Looking for that relationship. Looking for more clothes. Looking for that better job. Looking for more money. And his eyes are looking at all the hearts of all the worlds. But when he finds the eyes of somebody's hearts looking to him, and there is eye contact made, he says, then through eye contact becomes kingdom impact through that life. Amen. It is worth it, people. Because then you have aligned yourself for the ultimate blessings, not only in this temporary life, but for eternity. Because God is going to channel his voice, his truth, his blessing through the eyes that are fixated upon him. Then you are in line with the flow of eternity, establishing his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, with favor, blessing, wisdom, and understanding. People who get it. And God is asking today, do you get it yet? That your life, the eyes of your heart, the priorities and passions of your life are to be marked with his kingdom at the forefront of it all. How you give, how you live, how you study, what job you get, how you save, how you spend must be filtered through the kingdom of God and how we expand that kingdom. He is asking, do you get it yet? That your life is meant to do all to the glory of God's name. That's why you're here. That's why you exist. That's why you're saved. To do all things. Eating, drinking, saving, investing. All to the glory of his name. Only gain comes when you seek his kingdom first. Only gain. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, to gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? There is only gain when you live for the Lord. Therefore, in this year of kingdom priorities, take steps of faith and put Jesus first, front, and center in your life. Say to God, God, my life is yours. Use me as you will. My family is yours. Use us for your glory. My job is yours. Bless it to be a blessing. My relationships are yours. Be honored through them. Use it all for your glory and the glory of your name alone. And see what God will do with a life that is fully surrendered to him. You will never regret investing in his kingdom. Let's pray. Can we pray right now a prayer of dedication? Dedicating this new year to the Lord, to him. Say, God, I give you today. I give you tomorrow. I give you this year. It is yours. Give him your job, your marriage, your family, your future. The decisions you need to make this year with contracts expiring, give it to him. Say, God, I want to make my decisions based on kingdom priorities. Can we do that together? Let's pray. And let's give him our lives, our year, and every year until kingdom come. Let's pray together. And can we just pray a blessing to our brother or sister next to us? If you could just place your hand on their shoulder and let's bless them into this new year and ask that God would allow them to strengthen their faith in him. Say, God, I bless my sister with stronger faith to trust you, Jesus, to know that you do care, that you will provide the best for her life. God, I bless my brother. May he have the faith to keep you first above anything else in his life. So let's bless each other for this year, for this week, for our lives to be centered around Christ and his kingdom. Can we do that? So let's bless each other right now through our prayers. Bless them into this new week as well. Let's pray.
To know you, Lord. There is no greater thing. Jesus, you are my all. You're the best. You alone, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord.
Father, we thank you for your grace that you've just lavished over our lives. And God, in faith, we thank you that there are always millions of ways that you express love to us that we will not know until glory. But in faith, we thank you because we know that you are a good God. You are a good Father. And as a good Father, you always take good care of your kids. And so, Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you. I ask, God, that you would strengthen the faith of the people here today, that we would trust you always, even when we cannot see through our veiled eyes, through the darkened clouds that surround us, that we would not look to our surroundings, we would not look to our feelings, but we would look to your word that makes it clear that you are love to your people. So God, I pray for a strengthening of faith this year, so much so that the priorities of our hearts will always be for Christ and his kingdom. Lord, I also pray for a lifting of the veil in the eyes and hearts and minds of people today, that we will get it, that we will understand why you have given us life. And that is to use our gifts, our talents, our callings, our vocations to the glory of your name. May we do it joyfully, passionately, all for the glory of your name for the rest of our lives. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you close to his heart. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious and merciful to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace and faith and joy for the journey ahead. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing one more song as we give glory to God, as we live with our lives with a cross before us.